flip the switch. Oh, there we go. I flipped the switch, then flipped it back, and then here we go. We're good. You will need a Bible. You will, more importantly, need a bulletin and a pen. So I do have some things I would like for y'all to take home tonight. So if you don't have any of those items, please raise your hand as my lovely assistants are making their way through to hand those out to people. Anybody. All right. So a couple weeks ago, Aunt Lori started us off 2023 with a great sermon, preaching about how we should follow Jesus, choosing the right actions to take with compassion, tolerance, and love towards our neighbors. She referenced the Good Samaritan as an example of going out of our way to help somebody, even if it's our enemy. Yes. She referenced a lot of scripture supporting the importance of picking up our cross and following Jesus' footsteps. Last week, John preached on Jesus' greatest commandment as the Pharisees were trying to trip him up into making an assumption that one may be more important than the other. As it says, love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is the greatest commandment. Which, unfortunately, the Pharisees couldn't utilize this to really trip him up in any sort of way, because if you look at every single commandment or every single rule, loving God, of course, is of utmost importance, and loving your neighbor is also very important. He continued to talk about how God so loved us that he shows us his love through his redeeming love. He saved us by buying us back. Through his reconciling love, he bridged the gap between earth and heaven, between humanity and God, by sacrificing his only son to be sin on our behalf. He calls us to love one another as is his rewarded love. We are rewarded for being his by his love for us and the fact that we love him back and love our neighbors. So, listening to these great, wonderful sermons, I was thinking, how could somebody really understand God or Jesus when they're the newcomer? So tonight I really want to focus on the newcomer. What if we have lost our faith in God? And we truly don't believe all that Jesus stuff. It's whatever, you know? I grew up in a church my whole life, and not once did God do anything for me. I have lost close ones in my life. Maybe some of us have lost a job that was really important to us so we can support our family. I lost my wife. My children didn't want anything to do with me. Maybe you had to live in a car and were scraping by each and every single day to make ends meet. Where is God? Anybody have that sense, that feeling? Where is God? If he truly existed, why would he not love me enough to take care of me? How would he allow such pain and misery happen to me in my life? Yes, the answer is, yes, he will. But let me be clear. Let me be clear. He is not a cosmic vending machine God. He is not going to scold you or put you out. He doesn't hate you. He is just God, and there is always a purpose and or lesson to the tribulations in your life. He will allow bad things to happen because he wants you to learn. Just because you have freedom of choice, life without him is difficult and merely impossible. So he wants you to want him. By challenging you, he wants you to seek him. But maybe you are so angry that you don't care. You're fed up. This God, who is he? Gotten to a so point that maybe you are now what you would claim as an atheist. An atheist, by definition, is a person who disbelieves or lacks belief in the existence of God. A person who disbelieves, which is your first fill in the blank, so on your inside right-hand side of your bulletin, you can go ahead and fill that in. Maybe you weren't really quite that extreme. Not yet. But you're close. There's another word for you. It's chapter 4 of the AA Big Book. Agnostic. Agnostic, a person who believes that nothing is known or can be known of the existence or nature of God, or of anything beyond material phenomena, a person who claims neither faith nor disbelief in God. The people like to call on the picket. I don't really know about all that. What has he done for me? I haven't really seen God in my life. Who's this Jesus character? He's not the Son. Or maybe there's no existence. It's meaningless. What's the purpose? Why are we here? And you just kind of on that teetering post, back and forth, not really knowing what it is that you should believe in. The pain in your life has gotten so bad that you have lost your faith in what you once thought was a good thing, because that's what everybody told you. All the people in your life lied to you of this creator that loves and can perform miracles in your life, but all you have experienced is turmoil and misery. You are at an all-time low in your life. I can relate to you. I have felt those feelings. I have felt betrayed and forgotten. I have felt hopeless and angry at the world. I have felt nothing I did mattered. And I have felt like everything I did, how good it may seem, fell to pieces. I have felt that all my hard work and efforts to do the right thing came crashing down around me. I have felt that I was alone in this world and nobody knew how I felt or could relate to me. I grew up in the Catholic Church. And we bounced around from many different churches growing up because we lived out in the middle of nowhere. And I mean, going to church was a task. It was 30 minutes. It's a long ways. Heck, you can't even get down 423 from 121 to North Colony Boulevard in 30 minutes. Especially during rush hour. Through life's ups and downs, I grew further and further away from religion. And the church, because I couldn't wrap my head around everything that was being told to me. Around the scientific nature of how could a baby be born from a virgin. It's just scientifically not possible. It's not going to happen. How? It can't. The doubts crept in and grew more and more and more from what I saw and what I experienced. So I didn't believe in Jesus. So what? It was just a man. And as my life continued, I stopped believing in God. Because if Jesus said that he was his father, or God was his father, and that he was the son, and I didn't believe in Jesus, then God must not exist either. They're the one and the same, so they're just fake to me. I was at an all-time bottom. Nothing mattered. Depression, angst, anger, frustration, just everything in life was horrible. What's the point? How far are you willing to fall? I ask you that question. How far are you willing to fall? I want to let you know that there is still hope for you. There still can be good in your life if you're willing to try something different. Amen. Try something different. Maybe you're at the wrong church. Maybe you don't have a really good group of people around you to support you, help you through those times. That's what each and every person here tonight has done in hopes to have a better life, believed in something different. Do you want to have a better life? Amen. The book of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, gave me insight into a path of healing. But first, I need to let you know that you are not alone in this world. There are many black sheeps, lost causes, the family disgrace, or my favorite, the alcoholic drug abusing liar. This room, and there are many people like us, that we don't have to be alone anymore. Nobody has to be alone anymore. The Big Book, its main objective is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problems. Really? Yeah. What? A book is going to help me solve my problems? Those DIY stuff doesn't really help. Because your best efforts only got you so far, right? This book was written to be both spiritual and moral to help guide you back into a relationship with a God of your choosing, and not many places will allow you the freedom to choose your own understanding of God. Maybe that might work. I don't have to believe what I was told to believe. I can believe in something different. No, do I want to, though? Not quite there yet. We found that as soon as we were able to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results. I know I did. Even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, because where is he? Don't see him. But that power is God. It is God. I want for you to write down your next fill in the blank. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. He doesn't require you to do all these certain things for him to listen to you. He just wants you to speak to him. Just a simple thing is just, God, a prayer. I'm angry. I am frustrated. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do in life. But when you speak to him, he listens. He does care. I have found that to be true. There are three steps I find the most important steps to begin a new journey. If you are at your wit's end, if you are at a bottom that you do not want to continue falling, three steps to begin. Trina's really impressed with her new camper. And unfortunately, this is the hardest one. Step one, admit it. Admit you're powerless. Admit you're powerless. Yes, I am powerless in the fact that Trina has complete control over the PowerPoints. She gets to put whatever she wants up there, and we just enjoy it. We talk of intolerance while we were intolerant ourselves. We talk of intolerance while we were intolerant ourselves. Page 48 of the big book, it says, "We who have traveled this dubious path beg you to lay aside prejudice against organized religion. We have learned that whatever the human frailties of various faiths may be, those faiths have given purpose and direction to millions. It may be skewed a little bit, but that is their choice. You get to choose, because God gave us freedom of choice. John, for example, chose not to live that life anymore and said, I want to go help these people because they're dying and they need us. Thank you, God. Thank you, John. We don't have to choose to believe something we don't want to believe in. We get to choose to believe what we want. People of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. Actually, we used to have no reasonable conception whatsoever. I didn't. My conception of God was hellfire, brimstone, doesn't care about me, put me on this earth, supposedly. I think my father or mother had something to do with that. But, you know, I'm here. Where's God? We used to amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs and practices when we might have observed that many spiritual-minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness which we should have sought ourselves. Oh, they're happy. They're doing all great, wonderful things. Helping the community and doing this, living a good life, raising a family, and having family gatherings. Why can't I have that? Instead, we looked at the human defects of these people and sometimes used their shortcomings on a basis of wholesale condemnation. We judged them all the same. Those Christians, shame on them. Right? Fellowship of the program helped guide me to understand myself better. Those who have walked the path before me. By listening to their stories and reading this book, I have found so many similarities that I felt comforted by the knowledge I wasn't alone in this world. There were other people just as screwed up as I was out there. And I am so thankful for that. So thankful. Because they helped teach me the different ways. They helped teach me. Step number 2. After you admit that you are powerless, however long that may take, it takes a long time, but it does work. A power greater than yourself. A belief in God of your own understanding is what it says, is what it helps teach you. Logic is great stuff. We like it. So much that we like to often feel like we're the smartest person in the room. But it's not by chance that we are given the power to reason and to examine the evidence of our senses and draw to our own conclusions, right? That is one of man's greatest attributes. It is what separates us from animals, although we can act like animals from time to time. Once we had honestly looked at ourselves in the mirror and came to terms that our lives have become unmanageable, and whatever it was that was hurting you didn't have to hurt you anymore. It says in the big book, when we became alcoholics, or fill in the blank, crushed by self-imposed crisis, we could not postpone or evade. We had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What was your choice to be? The light or the dark? Pain or happiness? Suffering or enlightenment? What was your choice to be? Now, we stood at that turning point, right? We can admit to ourselves we were wrong. We may not want to verbally express it to others, but we can admit it. I was wrong. Yes, I'm an alcoholic, drug-abusing liar. But I've been clean and sober for over 8 years now. Amen. By the grace of God, I don't have to choose to do that anymore because I have faith. I have a God that loves me. I have a God that wants me to do good and to do goodwill towards others. So I don't have to live that past life anymore. So many of us can choose to go down that path that is heavily traveled by fellow like-minded people to the light at the end of the tunnel. Or we can continue down the path that we have already set out for ourselves, that we are going alone. And it's only going to lead to pain and misery and suffering and eventually death. So I chose to go down a path that somebody has walked before me to lead me into a better place because I didn't know what to do. I needed help. The hardest thing for most people to do is to ask for help. Not only to somebody else, but to a God of their understanding. The third thing that we must do, believe in Jesus. Belief in Jesus. How do I surrender my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him? I don't see God. I can trust my neighbor. I can trust my sponsor to lead me and to guide me. I can call him on the phone and he can answer me immediately what I need to do. I have that connection, instant connection with something. But God, where is he? So you're still wrapping your mind around this greater than yourself creator, but there was somebody that was put on this earth that was that person, that was that middleman. He was the mediator to communicate for you to him, and his name was Jesus. Amen. Jesus, we must believe in Christ, our Lord. Romans 2:4 says, God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance, so that trust that you will receive relief and rest when you surrender. His goodness will motivate you to let go. Because I can't do it alone, but he can motivate me to do it. He can help me let go. Your next fill in the blank. Repent from doing things your way and lean on God. I want you to scratch God. I want you to lean on Jesus. Either or, one or the other. I want you to fully lean on somebody, God or Jesus, both because they're the same. I'll get to that in a minute. We're taking baby steps here. It's a long journey to get from 1 to 3 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 to 12. It takes a long time. It doesn't happen overnight. My faith wasn't revigorated overnight. Would have made life a lot easier if it had, but it didn't. So whatever you need to repent from, doing things your way, and lean on God, lean on Jesus, lean on something other than yourself. Because that's what it says. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. I understand Jesus. Because when I lost my faith in Jesus first. And because I lost my faith in Jesus, I lost my faith in God. And the program helped me reestablish a faith of God, which then led me to reestablish my faith in Jesus. Amen. He has come, all who have honestly, God has come to all who have honestly sought him. When we drew near to him, he disclosed himself to us. He will. If you believe in God, then you can believe in Jesus. Everyone who interacted with or was called by Jesus recognized that there was something incredibly special about him, something that compelled them to lay down their livelihoods and forsake all to follow him. Matthew 4:20. In John 4, it says, the Samaritan woman at the well, after speaking with Christ, told the people of her village, come see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? The next verse says, they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Because Jesus knew. Everywhere else in Scripture, it reveals that Christ's physical appearance was something special. But what was special about him? What attracted people to him? Was it the sense that they had encountered the divine? After his resurrection, when two men walked with him on the road to Emmaus, they later said, were not your hearts burning within us while we talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? One cannot remain unchanged when one has experienced an encounter with the living Christ. Amen. Last thing, and I'll go ahead and have the band come back up. Matthew, where's the scripture? Where's your, I laid a couple out there, but I want you to turn to your Bible real quick to Matthew 13. If it's the Serenity Bible in your hand, that's page 667. Matthew 13. On the bottom of your notes there, it says the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. I want to leave you with this. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for the fine pearls. And when he found the one great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The kingdom of heaven was explained to his disciples, as Jesus said, is something so magnificent. So miraculous, so precious, the hidden treasure, the pearl that we all wish to seek in our lives, and we can only have it when we give ourselves fully to it. Amen. So please, join me in more worship. Join me in following Christ as he laid down so much for each and every single one of us. Because without him, we could not see where that treasure is. We cannot find it on our own. He will guide you to it. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.